Welcome back to the Electronic Intifada podcast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. In late August, the Palestinian Youth Movement, PYM, released a report revealing the Oakland International Airport's hidden and central role in shipping military cargo to Israel. Military cargo is flowing through the commercial Oakland Airport to the genocidal Israeli army, PYM says, concealed from the people of Oakland, their union members, their city officials, and their educators. Since January 2025, the report states, at least 280 military cargo shipments to Israel have been identified departing from Oakland Airport, with Nevatim Air Base being the primary final destination. These shipments have occurred multiple times per week for nearly the entirety of 2025, and have included F-35 fighter jet components used to carry and release munitions, guide weapons, power surveillance and targeting systems, and support critical flight operations, all essential to sustaining the combat readiness of Israel's Air Force. The frequency of these shipments, particularly when compared to other U.S. airports, positions Oakland Airport as one of the few consistently active logistical nodes in the U.S. military supply chain to Nevatim Air Base. The Oakland People's Arms Embargo Coalition, comprised of more than 20 organizations and led by local Arab groups, recently held a press conference and rally at Oakland International to demonstrate widespread opposition to military shipments flying out of Oakland to the State of Israel and to urge local decision makers to implement an arms embargo to stop further shipments. Here's a short video of that rally at the Oakland Airport on September 18th. Joining us to talk about the campaign to stop arms shipments through Oakland is Nadia Tanous of the Palestinian Youth Movement and Manadol Herzala of the U.S.-Palestinian Community Network. Both of them are based here in the Bay Area. Nadia and Manadol, it's so good to have you both with us today on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the report. This comes after last year's major revelation about the Danish multinational shipping company Maersk's involvement in shipping military cargo to Israel during this genocide in Gaza, of course. Nadia, talk about what went into researching how Oakland is a major hub of arms shipments and what corporate and political threads we can follow through the report. What companies are involved and what are they shipping?
You know, Nora, we started, as you mentioned, with a research methodology that particularly was tracking ships and started to move up the supply chain. I think knowing that the Bay Area is home to the ILWU and one of the only unions, the only union actually in the country in any port that is impacting an arms embargo and made it so that we knew the port wasn't culpable. So we started to track planes, knowing that there's particular types of materials that actually are flown that cannot be shipped or cannot be, traveling long distance by train, and just trying to kind of understand the larger supply chain that's supporting the genocide in Gaza. And that led us to looking at Oakland Airport, which was very surprising. And as we started to look more closely, we realized that actually not only is Oakland a facet of the F-35 supply chain, it's actually a key node to the F-35 supply chain. And just naturally, we started to look, from seaport to airport, trying to map different communities. And we were shocked that the Bay Area, which is one of the most progressive hubs in the entire United States, actually has been complicit in the genocide all this time, using our civilian infrastructure to support the massacres of our people in Gaza by supplying components to one of the deadliest and most expensive weapons on the market today, which is the F-35. And you asked about corporate complicity here. FedEx is one aspect of the supply chain because it's their planes actually that are being used as cargo air in order to fly things from Oakland directly to the Nebatim Air Base. There are other airports in the report that we mentioned, like Dallas-Fort Worth, which has kind of the number one role in the supply chain, closely followed by Oakland and a second role, and then Memphis and Oklahoma. The fact that FedEx is a humongous company, they were big efforts to unionize inside of FedEx that, as we know, kind of historically failed. This is kind of a tough corporate target. I think when we look at, how do we actually impact an arms embargo here in the United States inside of empire, we have to really think about what a municipal strategy looks like. We are in a progressive city that has already dictated ceasefire is the will of the people of Oakland. And actually, this decision by FedEx and other corporate actors who are part of the supply chain goes against the decision that Oakland already made. And so when we had the rally and press conference at the Oakland airport on Thursday, we were really happy to see that Mayor Barbara Lee actually responded right away to our findings and to the call upon her office and the Port Authority to say, hey, you guys got to look into this because this is coming out of our airport. It's coming out of our city. And we can tell through over 280 shipments that have been leaving multiple times a week for the past year that are actually, integrally rooted in the F-35's ability to drop 3 out of 6 major ammunitions that we can track, including the 2,000-pound bombs, missile heads, and Nora, there's actually, I'm seeing 3 out of 6 because there's 3 there, the last 3. We actually don't know what munitions there are, so they could very well be experimental munitions that we'll find out many years later were being dropped from the F-35I. But these are all these small parts that actually contribute to the combat readiness, but are really essential to the F-35 being a bomber. And so we're calling this killer cargo out of Oakland. And the point is, we have to be able to pressure those key actors who can make these decisions. And it's actually a gift that this is happening in Oakland because we know that Oakland won't stand for it. And if Oakland rises up against this complicity, we really hope that the communities in Dallas-Fort Worth and Memphis and Oklahoma and these other cities that are part of the supply chain unknowingly will rise up also and demand something different to reflect the will of the citizens instead of the will of these corporate targets in Israel who are exploiting our cities in order to be able to support the genocide.
Thanks for that, Nadia. Manadal, talk a little bit about more about the impact of these F-35 fighter jets when they're dropping, like Nadia said, 2,000-pound bombs on people in Gaza. Your close family members have been killed in Gaza, perhaps with some of these F-35 parts that have been shipped through our local airport. Talk about what these jets do, what those weapons do to people, including your family in Gaza.
First, thank you for having us, Noura. And what Nadia has mentioned earlier is the fact that we're thrilled and that our youth is leading this campaign. This is really nothing but an example of the struggle for free Palestine is continuing to be generation after generation. And it's, as we are recognizing the fact that there is other movement, liberation movements around the world, what makes the Palestinian struggle is so significant is the nature of our enemy that we are facing. Therefore, every few years, we get this vicious enemy attacking us by F-35, and then before it was F-16, before it was F-15, throughout the years. But that's also a sign that we will continue to expose these vicious attacks and this nature of its of this enemy by generation after generation. So to answer your question, I was very much affected, just like every Palestinian, whether you have your family living there or not. Our life has not been been the same since October 8th, when the vicious attack started, attacking civilians, attacking hospitals, universities, schools, nurses, journalists. And we have no idea. After 36 days, we filed a lawsuit against the government of the United States for being complicit about this. This is like, you know, we thought that this is like demand was ending the military assistance, lifting the siege of Gaza, because Gaza has been under siege for 17 years, including, you know, allowing electricity, fuel, and food. So going back to my family, I mean, you know, I have lost over 46 members of my family that I know of. I'm continuing to communicate with the family that we have over there. And it is how ironic, you know, when you ask somebody, how are you? They'll tell you how they're doing and what they're doing in their life. But the response is so horrific when you ask a relative of yours, how are you doing? He will say, or she will say, I'm still alive. That is such an example of what we could do. I'm just going to make an example. Ahmed, who with his wife, Russia has been, they are the remaining family that they still continue to survive under this, you know, very difficult circumstances. They moved from Gaza to Khan Yunis, from Khan Yunis to Rafah. Then when the so-called ceasefire came, they walked back to Gaza and to their destroyed homes. They tried to get to live over there. They have Farah, who is 20 years old, Qusay, who is 18 years old, Aboud, who is 15 years old, Ghazal, who is 11 years old, Adam, the youngest, who is 5 years old. Imagine Adam walking through all this road, 20 miles, barefooted, and then be able to go there. Now they are at a start. I mean, as recent as last night, Ahmed, you know, the head of the family, tells me, could you please let me know how we could get tents, because we don't have any tents. They are asking for if we know anybody in Deir el-Balah or Khan Yunis for a piece of land where they can put the tent. So they are unable to sleep. They cannot sleep. They cannot eat properly. They can, you know, and it's this is the case of every family in Gaza. Now, what we know, we're seeing all this reaction and all this solidarity around the world. Millions of people are in the streets supporting, not only supporting the Palestinians, but really wanted to prevent this entity, this vicious attack against not only Palestinians or Arabs, but against the humanity. It is unfathomable to see this genocide. We're living in it as we speak, and we are unable to stop it. This is frustrating. It doesn't make our life the same, and it just really, we were, you know, my family, when I talk to them, it's really hurting, but we can try to help as much as we can.
I'm just speechless. I'm so sorry. I know it's just wrenching to have to you know that, you know, from 10,000 miles away, the just unbearable suffering that is happening, and it feels like, you know, we're just all we can do is watch it happen. And that's where this report, that's where USPCN and PYM come in, taking real direct action to try and create logistical bottlenecks for these kinds of corporations, to eventually make it impossible for the Israeli army to continue this genocide. Nadia, the report states that domestic and international routing patterns have been identified for military cargo transiting through Oakland en route to Israel. These shipments typically arrive at Oakland's FedEx cargo facility between Monday and Friday and are consolidated into outbound freight flights routed through hubs in other states, like you said, before continuing to additional transit points on their way to Israel. These are civilian operated FedEx cargo planes, not military aircraft. They don't carry passengers, but these FedEx Express flights operate out of a commercial airport shared with public air traffic serving the broader Bay Area. You mentioned Barbara Lee, the mayor of Oakland, saying that something, needs to be looked into. But how are activists holding FedEx and Oakland Airport and city politicians accountable for this part in the global supply chain?
I mean, I think that our city council should be as shocked about this news as we are, because it's not a choice that we, the people of Oakland, made. And I think that, we know also that Oakland Airport is, it's a hard time economically for all of our cities, because contrary to the claims that are being made by national and politicians, I think we know that actually economically this is one of the hardest times for our people and for our public institutions and city institutions. And so I think it's really important for us to say that not all money is good money. And actually, if the contract that is being carried out from FedEx is actually contributing to what is now recognized by the United Nations as a genocide, which, Manadim and I and yourself, Nora, could have stated it's a genocide from October of 2023. We know a genocide when we see one. But even the point is, even the international community and the highest kind of courts in the land have shown that this is a genocide. And so that is complicity. And really clearly what we're expecting from our city council members, from our mayor, from the Port Authority, is that our will is reflected. We have on record that we are a city that stands with the Palestinian people, and we are already complicit because we pay our tax money to Israel. That's something that Manadim and others have actually filed a case around, right? And that's really, really important. So we should not be more complicit than we already are. Some of the ways that we intend to hold them to the standard is through approaching our city council, through providing resolution, through being able to actually demand, meetings and community action in the case of inaction by our city electeds around this particular finding. And the other thing I think, Nora, is trying to interrogate at this moment what people power means. Right, particularly in this repressive and just difficult moment. I mean, hearing what Manada, you're speaking about with your family, it's totally untenable. And our response to this, actually, every day, walking to the world as if it's normal, it's not normal. There's something wrong with that. I think very clearly history will vindicate the Palestinian people, but it is our role in order to be able to fight so that they can live and they can actually exist another day. As we're speaking now, Gaza City is being bombarded by this technology. It's completely materially connected to the destruction of our people, to the direct displacement of a million Palestinians out of the area. And so what does it look like to say to our city council representatives and to other communities where the power of the people is brewing, the will of the people is growing, and actually people are organizing around central demands like arms embargo and saying, look, we have something that we can do. It's at our fingertips. We can't take for granted that we are part of the most powerful country in the world, that without America, there is no Israeli genocide of the Palestinian people. Without America, there is no Israeli military. And so what does it mean to actually say we're going to pick up these actions and say, vehicles where we can take action in order to make sure that the international law, legislation, all these things that are at an existential crisis is actually held to account, and that this demand for self-determination of the Palestinian people is not watered down or circumvented, made as a state in the sky, but actually is saying we have the inherent right as Palestinian people to self-determination, and we will not delegitimize or defang that claim through different political opportunities and things through statehood and recognition. And we also know that without an arms embargo, without the stop of the genocide, then the recognition doesn't carry power, because the people who make the nation are at an existential crisis because we are under extermination. And so I think that's something that we can rally the people behind, certainly in Oakland, and I believe it's the same for other cities. One more thing I want to say, Noura, is that really clearly, so we have like the Black Organizing Project, for example. We have the Arab Research and Organizing Center, who's co-leading the campaign with USPC and PYM. We've all held a stance that says we don't want police in our schools. We don't want the militarization of our civil institutions. The Oakland airport is in line with those demands. Why are civilians flying military cargo? The military does that. Why are civilians and corporations taking that role? And that's the same intervention that we made around Maersk, who has the largest maritime security program contract in all of the United States. That's another real intervention here. We don't want our civilian institutions to actually take a role in war. If we're talking about peace and social justice, that starts at home.
Mm. Manadal, you've been an activist and an organizer in the Bay Area for decades. Talk about the Oakland People's Arms Embargo Coalition and how folks are working to pressure the airport to drop these military cargo shipments. What has the community engagement and activism looked like so far?
Well, so far it has really exceeding my own expectation. I thought like we'll have some few people coming to organize for this, where we have dozens of people wanting to do whatever it takes to participate in this movement. And I think the people of Oakland will really rise to this challenge that we have. We just learned about this, so it's hard to predict what's going to look like, but I'm very, very positive that the last 2 years has revived an anti-colonial and anti-racist, anti-imperialist struggle, not only in Oakland, but also in all over the world, among the masses across the world, while forces of empire do everything they can to reestablish the status quo and reverse the revolutionary tides that have swept the globe. And we see that not only Oakland is changing, California is changing, the United States is changing, the world is changing. The resolve of the people only grows stronger and stronger. So we're very, very optimistic about that. There is a deeper connection are being made to really eliminate the bonds and between the fight for Palestinian liberation with the struggle of the poor and the working class and immigrants and anti-racist struggles, indigenous and land back movement. So these all are connected together. It's not only like they passed the ceasefire resolution, fine, but people, instead of saying, we did what we can, we cannot, that's unacceptable, people will rise up again, and then they will continue to connect with each other, with all the poor and working class, and the anti-racist struggle, the indigenous people, the struggle for genders, sexual justice, the worldwide struggles against imperialist war, militarism, and the prison industry. So it is the struggle for Palestine, the free Palestine, is not isolated than any other struggle around us. As you know, the Ghassan Kanafani said once that imperialism has laid its body over the world, the head in Eastern Asia, the heart is in the Middle East, and its arteries reaching Africa and Latin America. So wherever they strike, they damage us as people. So the Palestinian cause is not a cause for Palestine only, but a cause for every human being, wherever they are, as a cause of exploited, oppressed masses in our area. So we see as Central America once was the center of the revolutionary, South Africa were able to get rid of apartheid with years of work, but determination and focus. Palestine will continue to be at this moment of history a campus for revolutionary struggle worldwide and a path to realize a just and free future for all of us. So if Oakland will be the spark, the rest of the series that it was mentioned earlier by Nadia will continue to do that, and then nothing will stop the movement of the people.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, I mean, just today, as we're recording, today is September 22nd, workers, educators, community leaders all over Italy have been engaging today in a general strike, a mass strike, to stop the genocide in Gaza and Italy's involvement in fueling this genocide. And of course, you know, with the Mask Off MERS campaign in the last year, dock workers, union members in North Africa and Southern Europe have been instrumental in blocking cargo shipments. Where does the Oakland airport, you know, FedEx arms embargo campaign fit into this wider global struggle of people around the world?
Yeah, the scenes from Italy today were absolutely phenomenal. And I think the fact that the dock workers in Genoa said explicitly, if a hair on our comrades' heads are touched from the flotilla, we will shut down the country. We will shut down Europe. And you can see today from the general strike all across Italy, multiple regions north to south, just how much they met that threat, they executed it, and the will of the people inside in the streets and inside the unions. Just phenomenal. I really think that as Manog, you know, you were speaking, I thought about kind of the trajectory of the movement over the past 2 years. You know, we have long lineage as Palestinian struggle and grassroots organizing. And I think the past 2 years, we've actually seen a transformation, that paradigm shift that we've all spoken about, where the awareness of the people inside the U.S., inside of Europe, has really grown significantly, and an understanding of Palestinian conditions, of our demands, our political demands, our right to freedom, self-determination, the freedom for all political prisoners, you know, it's become mainstream. And I think really, really clearly, and unfortunately, it's the sacrifice of our people that has brought this kind of fervor to the forefront. And I think now what we're going to see from all of the mobilizations and all of the student intifada encampments, continuous kind of growing demands from ceasefire to an arms embargo, this pinnacle is going to reach Europe. And in so many ways, it already has. The people of Europe are saying, no more. You know, and it's not just these countries that have been reliably really progressive and have been able to push arms embargo on a larger level in Europe, like Slovenia or like Spain or like Ireland or like Belgium. We're actually seeing this rise also in fascist Germany, which very much mirrors an experience, I think, similar to our own here in the United States. And so that's meaningful to me because the movements were always or the rallies were always large in Europe, but never to this degree. And that shows that, again, actually, our demands and the consciousness of the people has not hit its ceiling. We are pushing the ceiling forward by saying, here's solid action you can take. And unions and community institutions, they're picking up their historic role, which has been in one of international solidarity. We've also seen a lot of attention towards dock workers and unions inside of Morocco, you know, with the push coming out, you know, of Europe away from the usage of some of these ports because there's such a strong kind of and growing, you know, union movement against complicity in the war machine. Actually, what we're seeing is that companies like Maersk and Zimmer and MSC are utilizing the Tangier port, which is now one of the largest hubs on the Mediterranean. And that's, you know, a challenge, I think, where you have different domestic contexts than in Spain. You know, for the Moroccan people, the Moroccan government has signed a normalization agreement, the Abraham Accords, since 2021. But it's incumbent upon dock workers in Italy, in Spain, in France to actually stand with their brothers and sisters on the docks in Tanjung who don't want to touch this cargo, who don't want to load the cargo that's going to hurt their Palestinian siblings, but who don't have the protection of the union because companies like Maersk and APM have explicitly blocked them from unionizing. And so, you know, Nora, it's like, what's the role? I mean, the role, as you said, is to be able to highlight these corporate actors, to be able to highlight the complicity of certain states, the way that some of these corporate actors are undermining the sovereignty of some of these states and saying, what are you going to do about it? And what are the people of Genoa going to do about it in support of the dock workers who are leading the way? What's the role that Bologna is going to take? What is the role that Milan is going to take? What are the role that we have here? And it's I think, empowering, actually, to see that we're not alone. The issue is the Palestinian people were running out of time. And that's more true than ever now in this genocide. So it's the meaning of the moment is critical. I think I just want to highlight a few more companies. So we talked about FedEx having a central role here. We also can't forget Challenge Airlines. So Challenge is a Zionist cargo company, and they are also complicit in this supply chain. We can look at United and Lufthansa, who are two passenger airlines who also are complicit in this supply chain. So when you're talking about components maybe flying under you as you're going to visit family and friends on vacation, literally happening. And that's something more that we'll kind of uncover as we continue on with this campaign. We have American, right? We have Zim. These are all companies that have been taking up a role and actually profiting from this genocide and facilitating the transfer of cargo. And so in the report, I think it's also important. It's kind of hard to demystify what goes into a weapon. But it's really clear that when these companies say, oh, we don't transfer weapons, we just transport components. I mean, when you put the components together, it's a weapon. That's the one thing. The second thing is that Netanyahu's speech last week, he actually used the proper terminology. He said some of these movements around the world are stopping military cargo and components from entering Israel. So he himself knows how critical this is to actually fueling the genocide. And I'll end here by saying that we, the people, are not fools. We know that Israel is indiscriminate in their bombing. They are indiscriminate in their targeting. And so they are rapacious in the amount of weaponry, munitions, et cetera, that they use. We know that for every amount of flight time for the F-35, they take triple the amount of time to actually reconstitute and to fix and to service the F-35. And this supply chain is a just-in-time supply chain, meaning these components are getting there just in time for this fleet to fly. And Israel has the audacity in this moment of genocide to actually want to build 10 more F-35IA bombers. What we of the world are saying is, look, the United Nations now calls this a genocide. Israel's still a member of the United Nations. Netanyahu is coming this Friday to speak in New York City when there's a warrant for his arrest from the ICC. How many contradictions can we stomach? This is one that we cannot, and the people absolutely will not stand for it. And Italy shows us that today. And it shows the potential of when international solidarity isn't just a principle, it's a movement, how much power we have to actually unite against around the world and to say we have one political will and we will step up against any government and any corporation that stands in our way.
Thank you so much for that, Nadia Tanous. Manadal, if people in the Bay Area or people outside of the Bay Area want to plug into this new campaign, how can they do so? And what are the next steps that you all are taking?
Well, if there is a website, Embargo, and that you could plug in and endorse as an organization or endorse as an individual and be part of the alert for the next action that we are about to take. We welcome everyone. And I believe that we, like Nadia said earlier, is like this is a historical moment. I mean, I'm speaking to our listeners and our viewers. What would you say to your son and your grandson if in the future, where were you when genocide was taking place? This is a genocide that is in live stream all over the world that we are seeing exactly what's happening. So we got to do something about it. If our campaign is a way to do it, we will welcome all organizations, all people to participate in this and make it much, much more stronger with the masses, with the people, voices coming together in this. I'm hoping also another cities will rise up and follow the example of Oakland, and then Oakland will continue to lead us, and the people of Oakland, people of California, people of the United States will continue to deliver a peace and you know, calmness to our families all over the world.
Thank you. And again, that website is armsembargonow.org, .com, yes. Sorry, armsembargonow.com. Nadia, finally, how can people read the report and understand more about the research and the data that you've all compiled at the Palestinian Youth Movement?
Absolutely, Nora. You can visit armsembargonow.com. You'll see the report there, KQED, this whole Bay Area. Media platform did an amazing groundbreaking article that verified the research. You can look there kind of at their analytical breakdown. And also, you know, as Manadal was saying, there's a petition. We want you all to sign it. Please circulate it. So let's put this research and this information into action. Information is power. Knowledge is power. Let's get into the power part of it. So there's a petition that basically outlines our demands. And the demands are to cease all military cargo shipments from Oakland Airport to Israel. The second is to implement an arms embargo through a permanent policy to prohibit the use of Oakland's public infrastructure and finances for military transfer to Israel. And lastly, to create governmental processes for accountability and transparency to ensure that Oakland is not complicit in the genocide worldwide. And so we really invite different organizations to sign on. We have over 85 co-endorsing organizations. The research was developed and really is an opportunity to kind of launch, similar campaigns in your area. We know how important it is to actually organize with our union, our workers. Talking about the interests of workers globally are the same as the interests of the Palestinian people. We know that in our municipalities, we want our cities to stand for the same principles that we have. And we believe that they're being exploited. We believe that this new information needs to lead to action. And so we really, really encourage organizations inside of these different cities that are highlighted in the report to connect with us. We've already started to connect with many of them who are enraged by this report. And so we hope, you know, it's pretty short, has a good executive summary. Please engage with it. Take a look at it. And look, it's our responsibility to know. It's our responsibility with the information that's being provided to read it, to understand it, and to circulate it. Do we want our cities to be complicit in the genocide of the Palestinian people? As you said, Manavid, what would we do? What would you do? We talk about what was happening to the Vietnamese people under American aggression and the anti-war movement. The fact of the matter is that not everybody was involved in the anti-war movement or the counterculture that emerged from that. But I would like to think that if all three of us were alive at or active at that time, Manalda, you can have your own story, that we would have done something about it. And we work with elders every day who actually have done something about it. So for the people today who have another opportunity to stand on the right side of history, that doesn't just happen from sitting back and feeling your feelings. It comes by uniting with other people who are also committed to action and figuring out together what we're going to do about it. So the first step you can take is signing onto this petition and circulating it to your family and friends. Get them organized, and we'll see you in the city council, in the meetings, and all the activities to follow.
Nadia Tanous of the Palestinian Youth Movement and Manadel Herzala of U.S. Palestinian Community Network, thank you both for all the work that you always do. It's always an honor to spend time with you both. And again, that website is armsembargonow.com. Manadel and Nadia, thank you again, and keep us posted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nora. Thank you for having us on Electronic Intifada. We're excited to see you in the streets.